Nothing like that should be given easily to a man. The temptations are too strong. Is that where the white fire comes from? Reza asked. This power you have?
Aye, indeed it is.
What's its range? Ah, now, Mr. Maleen, that's difficult to say. The more of you fling at it, the further it will go. The more impassioned you are, the stronger it will be. For a cool one such as yourself, I doubt it would be far. Reza grunted and shifted back on the bench.
Could you demonstrate the power for me, please? Kelly asked.
Something I can record and show people. Something that will make them believe what you say is true. I've never known a newspaper gal before. You did say you were from a newspaper now, didn't you?
What newspapers eventually became, yes.
She ran a historical search request through her neuronanonics. Something like the movie tone or pathé reels at the cinema, only with color and feeling. Now, that demonstration?
I normally prefer gals with longer hair, myself.
Kelly ran her hand self-consciously over her scalp. She had shaved her hair to a bluish stubble so she could wear the armor's shell helmet.
I normally have longer hair, she said resentfully.
Sean Wallace winked broadly, then leant over the gunwale and scooped up one of the long-legged insects scampering over the snow lilies. He held it up in the palm of his hand. A long, spindly tube body, dun brown, with a round bulb of a head sprouting unpleasant pincer mandibles. It was quivering, but stayed where it was as though glued to his skin. He brought his other hand down flat on top of it, making a show of pressing them together, squashing the insect. Kelly's eyes never wavered. When he parted his hands, the prince of butterflies was revealed, wings almost the size of his palms, patterned in deep turquoise and topaz and silver, colours resistant to the red light of the cloud, shining in their own right. Its wings flexed twice, then it flew off, only to be kicked about in the air by the wash of the hovercraft's powerful slipstream.
"There, you see," Sean Wallace said, "we don't always destroy."
Kelly lost sight of the delightful apparition.
"How long will it stay like that?"
"Mortality is not something you measure out like a pint of ale, Miss Kelly. It will live its life to the full, and that's all that can be said."
"He doesn't know," Razor muttered curtly.
Sean Wallace practiced a knowing, slightly condescending smile. It was growing lighter around the hovercraft. Up ahead, Kelly could see the wonderfully welcome glare of pure sunlight striking emerald foliage, a colour that wasn't red. She'd begun to believe that red was all there ever was, all there ever had been. The hovercraft skimmed out from under the chafed edge of the cloud band. All the mercenaries broke into a spontaneous cheer.
"What is that thing?" Kelly shouted above the rebel whoops, pointing up at the cloud.
"A reflection of ourselves, our fear."
"What do you fear?"
"The emptiness of the night. It reminds us too much of the beyond. We hide from it."
"You mean you're making that?" she asked,
skepticism warring with astonishment.
"But it covers thousands of kilometers."
"Aye, that it does. 'Tis our will that creates it. We want shelter, so shelter we have. All of us, Miss Kelly, even me who shuns the rest of them, we all pray for sanctuary with every fibre of being. And it's growing, this will of ours, spreading out to conquer. One day soon it will cover all of this planet, but even that is only the first chapter of salvation.
What's the second?
To leave, to escape the harsh gaze of this universe altogether. We'll withdraw to a place of our own making, a place where there is no emptiness hanging like a sword above the land, no death to claim us. A place where your butterfly will live forever, Miss Kelly. Now tell me that isn't a worthy goal. Tell me that isn't a dream worth having."
Razor watched the last of the jungle's trees go past as the hovercraft reached the savannah.
The lush green grassland seemed to unroll on either side of the river as though it was only just coming into existence. He wasn't really paying much attention. The strange, supposed Irishman was a captivating performer.
"A closed universe," he said,
and the earlier scorn was lacking. Kelly gave him a surprised glance.
"You mean it is possible?"
"It happens thousands of times a day. The Black Hawks and Void Hawks, open interstices, to travel through wormholes every time they fly between stars. Technically, they're self-contained universes.